Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Breaking news. Probably the least surprising news you will hear in your entire lifetime. Study comes out showing the majority of white, liberal, young women are mentally ill. And I'm not making this up. It's actually from Pew Research. And a lot of it they blame on the Cerveza sickness and the lockdowns and all of these other things that we've been dealing with over the past 2 years. But this explains a lot. Let's go right into the article. And this is from Evie, which I don't know what this magazine is, but by the looks of it, it doesn't exactly look conservative. So, more power to the author. This gal's name is Gwen Farrell. So, I'm sure she got a lot of blowback for this, but it again, she's just stating what the Pew Research study found. She's not really, I guess she's editorializing a little bit, but she's not saying that this is her opinion. This is what the facts. This is what the facts say. So let's get into it here. Over 50% of liberal white women under the age of 30 have a mental health issue. Are we worried yet? I don't know if I'm worried, but like I said, definitely not surprised. So this is a 2020 Pew Research study reveals that over half of white liberal women have been diagnosed with a mental health condition at some point. Does this mean there's a correlation between progressive ideas and mental health? Those are her words, not mine. But I'd say yes, there is. It's a common tactic of the politically charged on either side and normally perceived as a cheap one at that, to take particular adherence of an ideology and equate that diehard worship to mental illness. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with the author and her representation of what's happening here. Absolutely. She goes on to say, conservatives label younger liberal generations as snowflakes or as having Trump derangement syndrome. Definitely true. And is that justified? No, not all the time. Not at all. It's just, it's tribalism. And tribalism is bad on the right and bad on the left. If they didn't like the past president, she goes on to say if they didn't like Trump, basically. Liberals and progressive, their way of doing this is label right-leaning individuals as conservatives, right-leaning individuals or conservatives as racist, bigots, misogynists, etc. Resorting to this type of lowbrow behavior might once have been seen as an excuse not to address the actual issues or beliefs at hand, but now ad hominem attacks are more common than not. So far, completely agree with the author. But what if what was once a cheap shot or a personal insult has actually been found to bear scientific correlation between the individuals who hold progressive ideologies and an increased risk of mental illness? I would actually look at it the other way. I would also say, is increased mental illness a correlation, or does this lead to the progressive ideology? That's exactly what Pew Research has found, and on politics aside, and all politics aside, the shocking diagnosis of over 50% of liberal women with some form of mental health medical diagnosis as public health concern that no one seems to be discussing, let alone taking seriously. For whatever reason, we're not talking about the risks of mental illness women in general face. Okay, got it. Especially compared to men. Women are 40% more likely to develop depression than men. I mean, I would contribute a lot of that to social media. And I would also contribute a lot of that to, the truth hurts, but I would attribute a lot of that to women being more prevalent in the workplace, women, 60% of people in college being women, women making more and more money. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all, but I am saying that there's a cost-benefit analysis that we have to do, especially if you're a woman. I mean, this is what I'm saying. I'm sure a lot of women are pissed off right now, but before you get too mad, just try to hear me out. Unfortunately, you've got a time limit on when you can have kids. It's just reality. That's just, you can get mad at it. It's unfair. It is what it is. So if women are, or more and more women are going to college, becoming educated, making more and more money, I think that's a great thing, absolutely. But there's a price. There's a cost benefit. There's a trade-off, I guess we should say. So if women are, you know, graduating college more often, if they're making more money, if they're climbing the corporate ladder, if they're trying to become a CEO, as an example, they're going to have to put off having kids to a later date. And a lot of these women put it off until it's too late. And I don't know about you guys, but just anecdotal evidence, the women that I know in my life, friends, family members, employees, etc., if they get to a point in life where they have not yet had a kid, that really starts to have an impact on them mentally, psychologically, definitely has an impact on their, let's say, enjoyment or how fulfilled they feel as a woman. It's just, again, it is what it is, right? And so if women continue to be a higher and higher percentage of the educated, let's say, in college, and if they continue to make more and more money and they exceed the amount of money that men are making, again, I think that's fantastic. Go for it. I obviously respect that to a great degree. But again, there's going to be trade-offs. And so I think that this would have a lot to do with now 40% more likely to develop depression than men. I mean, you would think that since the 1970s, with women being more and more empowered, that they would be less and less depressed. But what I find interesting is that the more and more women become like men, or what they think men are, as far as that level of quote-unquote success, it seems the more depressed they become in aggregate total. Just a thought. So the article goes on to say, due to lower levels of serotonin, I guess that's what they're attributing the higher levels of depression, we are also more likely to have anxiety and depression because of that deficiency. There are also certain life experiences like childbirth, well, there we go, okay, which can lead to these diagnoses. 1 in 7 women will be diagnosed with postpartum depression in the following year. Okay, so they're going a different direction here. I wasn't doing the thing after childbirth, but that is also very interesting. Postpartum depression in particular is a condition that leaves its victims feeling powerless and without confidence or assurance in their own abilities as a mom or a caregiver. I think it's probably a combination of everything. But I think maybe more importantly, I think I'm kind of going off on a tangent here and I'm trying to dissect this and get to the bottom of it. But I think that there is a correlation or a causal effect, let's say, all of these things that I'm talking about aside, with the having this really cult-like belief in the progressive narrative and some form of mental illness to where you're just not all there. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macro economics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. She goes on to say, but biology and hormones aside, what about choices we actively engage in, the behaviors we indulge, the beliefs, convictions we hold as important? than all others, the people we spend our time with, the actions we devote our energy to, the news we consume, is that negatively impacting our mental health or even more importantly, leading to mental diagnosis? But see, again, I would look at it from the other side. Is the mental health problems contributing to this gravitational pull that the progressive narrative actually has? I think that's a more interesting question. See, she's saying is, you know, the fact that you watch CNN, is that making you crazy? I would say, is the fact that you're crazy making you watch CNN? So now she goes over the study and what it found. So let's dive into the data. Interestingly enough, the study, which was titled Pew American Trend Panel Wave 64, dated March 2020, okay, so it's not regarding the Cervasa sickness. I thought they did this specifically because of the lockdowns and whatnot. So the study examined white liberals, moderates, and conservatives, both male, female, found that conservatives were far less likely to be diagnosed with mental health issues than those who identified as liberal or very liberal. Okay, again, I'm not too surprised there. What's more, white women suffered the worst of all. White women ages 18 to 29 who identified as liberal were given a mental health diagnosis from medical professionals at the rate of 56% as compared with 28% in moderates, 27% in conservatives. You can see the chart that they're referencing from Pew. So Zach Goldberg, a doctorate candidate in question, he kind of came up with an excuse here on Twitter. He says, I didn't write this thread to mock white liberals or the apparently disproportionate rates of mental illness. Rather, this is a question that's unexplored and which may shed light on attitudinal differences towards various social policies. I think where he was going with this is kind of making an excuse saying, well, maybe it's that liberal females tend to go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist more often. Yeah, but maybe they're actually going there more often because they're crazy. Let's not overlook that. Dr. Lyle Rossiter, a board-certified psychiatrist who's treated mental disorders over 30 years, agrees and adds that white liberalism thrives on supposedly championing workers, minorities, and the little guy, women and the unemployed, who they continuously see as wronged, cheated, oppressed, disenfranchised, exploited, and victimized, with little to no agency of their own, a view that often mutates. Okay, so making people seem as though they're babies. I'm struggling with that word. You'll have to forgive me. I already did a whiteboard video today, so my brain is mush. Infantilizing and patronizing of certain groups within a narrative. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The people responsible for these crimes, poverty, disease, war, ignorance, unemployment, racial prejudice, ethnic and gender discrimination, modern technology, capitalism, globalization, and imperialism. In the radical liberal mind, this suffering is inflicted on the innocent by various predators and persecutors, big business, big corporations, greedy capitalists, U.S. imperialists, the oppressors, the rich, the wealthy, the powerful, the selfish. That's pretty much an exhaustive list of every grievance and every proprietor that progressives see as responsible for these injustices which plague or disenfranchised communities, while moderates and conservatives seemingly sit idly by, unconcerned with any but their own privilege. So I guess they're just trying to articulate it from the view of someone that's maybe just living in this fantasy world. I mean, we were talking about that the other day. Do you choose to live in reality world, or do you choose to live in fantasy world? And you know, this explains a lot too, because one of the things that we've been talking about with these sanctions is how, if you really think through them, they don't make much sense. They don't make any sense because you're doing more harm to the West, the Western society, than you are most likely to the Russian society. And you're definitely not deterring Putin from doing anything. Therefore, the only reason, the only justification for these sanctions is that we are quote unquote doing something. Well, we have to do something. Oh, well, not really. If that's, you know, if you're going into a fight, the first thing you can do is not punch yourself in the face. That would be my suggestion number one. But you see, if you're caught up in this emotion, if you're mentally ill, then I think you're going to be much more, you're going to be far more likely to pursue something that simply makes you feel good, instead, even if the results are the complete opposite of the intention. At the end of the day, I don't even think you care. You don't care that the results are making things worse, so long as it makes you feel good. And I think that would be very consistent with someone who was mentally ill. So I think you guys get the gist of the article. I think it's very fair and thorough. And I think they definitely give the link to the actual study. So what I'll do is I'll put a link in the description of this video. And if you guys want to dive more into the topic, do so and come to your own conclusions. All right, as always, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Make sure that you stand up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. See you in the next video.